Welcome back to Caped Chronicles. This is episode number 25. We have hit a quarter of millennium. Not, I can't even talk right now. We've hit 25 episodes, people, okay? We've hit 25 episodes of Caped Chronicles. 24 more than I thought we were ever going to make it, especially after those Superman years. But we are here. We're discussing The Punisher from 2004. And no, this is not The Punisher from 1998, because 1998 was not a wide-release Punisher. All right? So we're talking about Punisher from 2004 with the man himself, none other than John Travolta. But hey, we will get into that.
Why is he the main person?
Like, we'll talk about that later, Andrea.
We'll discuss this, Andrea. Okay. I mean, we almost had to fire Mike for forgetting how to talk, so we're off to a good start here.
But yeah, I am Mike, and you heard two angelic voices just a second ago outside of my own.
Angelic, more like demonic.
Okay, I was going to wait my turn nicely, but wow.
Damn.
This is like a garbage fire to begin. Listen, watch your language, Andrew. I already had to beep you on the last episode.
Wait, what did I say?
I don't remember.
A beep.
I didn't say anything this time.
You didn't say anything this time, right? No,
I'm just
kidding, I just said
Andrea.
Demonic. Like.
I'm just kidding, Andrew.
Oh, okay.
This is a garbage fire already.
I was scared. I was like, I normally behave.
You do normally behave. Now, I will say, because this is a rated R movie, I do want to throw this warning up ahead of time. There could be some language, depending on how fast and furious the language actually goes, will depend on if this will have an E tag on it or not for explicit. So, y'all will get the warning on that one if we do have it. But, be aware, it is an R-rated movie. But all those awesome voices that you heard was not just me. I am Mike. We also have Carrie. What's up?
Oh, I am.
We can tell.
I'm up.
She's alive.
I'm alive.
She's alive. And then we have Andrea. What is up?
I am doing fantastic. I am doing my nails for celebration.
Yay.
And what have you decided to paint on your nails?
R2D2.
Yay.
Oh. That'd be awesome. For those who know, celebration's coming up here in about a week. I've already got my schedule blocked off for live streaming on certain days of the of certain panels. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, there's. And, I have too much crap to do this week. I can't. I'm not going to be able to watch the live stream. While I'm going to be very jealous of the guys and Andrea who are going to be there and having fun.
I just yes. like that, the guys in Andrea. Because I am the only one.
And she's also our co-social media coordinator, so y'all keep track of the Force Chatter, Twitter, and Instagram, as she'll be posting stuff continuously to those as well. So y'all make sure you subscribe to @ForceChatter. Boom. And then the quiet voice that you hear in the background is Fred. Fred, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fabulous, Mike. Thank you. I don't have the time for the live streaming next week either, so I'm just going to go there in person.
Boom.
You're so
I hate
mean.
You. Boom. I hate you. I hate you so much. That's okay.
But I might live stream from one panel to the other if I have to, like, you know, miss something.
I would love to go to Celebration one time in my life.
Yeah, that's
Yeah, this will be my first, probably my last. I don't know. We'll see.
Star Wars Celebration and Star Trek Las Vegas are two cons on my bucket list.
San Diego is definitely.
Oh,
on my
San Diego
list.
As well, but STLV and Celebration are a little higher priority.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, if you want to get all this crazy nonsense and fun that you hear on this podcast, then you need to go join us in Discord. Go to ranchatter.com/Discord to join us. Also, y'all just follow us again on Twitter. We are @CapedChronicles on Twitter. Make sure you do that, because it's the only thing in your life that you need to do right now. Does that sound too cruel?
Yes.
It'll be okay. Hey, listen, I have to tell you, this is funny. So my dad always had a saying when I was younger called, you know, life's hard, get a helmet. So ever since my daughter was little, I always told her, hey, life's hard, get a helmet. You know, when I say something to her and she didn't like it, you know, it's okay, life's hard, get a helmet, you'll be all right. So they're outside jumping on the small trampoline today, my other daughter and her. And my other daughter's 2 years old, and my oldest is five. And and she does something, and the two-year-old starts crying, and she starts walking away, and my youngest looks at her and says, "Hey, life's hard. Get a helmet." I'm like, "Yes." I'm like proud dad moment right there. I was like so proud. I'm like, "Yes."
Damn.
and then she goes on, and she says, "If you don't have one, you just go buy one."
Oh,
like, yes.
Burn.
Oh,
Jesus.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
You're raising some sassy pants there.
Listen, I'm raising my girls to not take nothing from nobody.
Good.
So, anyway, so y'all said all that to say, follow us on Twitter, at Cape Chronicles. That was great. All right, now we're going to go ahead and move into our film. So, Carrie, why don't you binge us here on the summary of The Punisher from 2004, which is a pretty easy summary. He shoots a bunch of people, but hey, go for it.
Yeah, so Special Agent Frank Castle had it all. A loving family, a great life, an adventurous job. But when his life is taken away from him by a ruthless criminal and his associates, Frank has become reborn. Now serving as judge, jury, and executioner, he is a new kind of vigilante out to wage a one-man war against those who have done him wrong.
Dum dum dum.
Dum dum dum.
Hey, I got a question. Is Judge Dredd a superhero?
I don't think so.
No.
Cool. We don't have that movie.
Nope.
Great.
Okay.
No, and no Erasure, if you're listening, no, we're not doing that one. So we're not doing Masters of the Universe either. I don't care if they're making a sequel.
It's not going to be a sequel. It's just they're just rebooting it.
Reboot. They need to do a lot of rebooting. All right, so that was our summary. Andrea, why don't you talk a little bit about our cast and crew?
I love saying this segment because then I can butcher a lot of names. So,
awesome.
When it comes to the director, I just lost my place. It's Jonathan Hensley. He was a producer Gone in 60 Seconds, Armageddon, Con Air, and he
the
also
greatest
wrote
movie of all time, by the way.
Con Air. I love Con Air.
It was pretty good.
What is it about?
About a bunch of cons who take over a plane.
Wow.
Con Air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you think it was about a hairdryer?
Probably. He was also a writer of Jumanji, Armageddon, Die Hard with a Vengeance, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, and The Saint. So he has some pretty cool accomplishments under his belt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like all those movies.
Yeah. In terms of actors, you have Thomas Jane, who plays Frank Castle / The Punisher. He was in The Crow, City of Angels, Deep Blue Sea, Thin Red Line, The Mist, voice of Jonah Hex in various DC animated movies. Hung, The Predator, the 2018 version, and also The Expanse.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much where I know him from, and also The Mist.
Oh, you saw The Mist too?
Yeah.
I loved the ending twist, didn't
you? It was disgusting. I felt so sick. There was a lot of Walking Dead characters in that movie too.
You know, we just talked about Shazam on the DC Talk podcast, and one of the things we talked about, well, I thought it was hard for me to look at the dad figure in that movie because it reminded me of Jerry from Walking Dead, and that's all I saw the whole time was Jerry just carrying around this big battle axe. I'm like, that's not the same. Anyway.
Not my Jerry.
Not my Jerry.
All right, so next up we have Mike's favorite iconic person who probably he has a shrine of, John Travolta, who plays Howard Saint. I know I don't. He was in Grease, Pulp Fiction, Thin Red Line, Austin Powers, Goldmember, Hairspray, The Talking of Pelham 123, Wild Hogs, and Swordfish. Have you ever watched Old Dogs?
No, I have not.
With John Travolta and
is that the one with Tim Allen or is that Wild Hogs?
No, I think it's with
maybe I'm wrong with Robin Williams.
No, that's not the one. That's not Wild Hogs, Carrie. Okay. I don't know what you're talking about. Now, Grease is one of my favorite movies, believe it or not.
I love
How do we mention John Travolta and not bring up Saturday Night Fever?
Because
I've never seen that, Fred.
Or yeah.
Because awkward.
Awkward.
No, but seriously, if you want a feel-good movie about friendship and just like growing up with your friends, Old Dogs is a really good movie.
I thought you were going to say
Punisher. No. Not at all.
No.
You also have Will Patton. He's Quentin Glass. Armageddon, Gone in 60 Seconds, Remember the Titans, The Mothman Prophecies, The Agency TV series, Numbers TV series, Falling Skies, and Swamp Thing.
Falling Skies,
amazing TV show. I spent most of this movie going, where have I seen Glass? And as soon as they came up with it, they're like,
there it is, Falling Skies. By the way, it's Seth Green, Andrea, that's in that movie Old Dog. So it's
Seth Green and John Travolta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You also have Roy Scheider.
Scheider.
He plays Frank Castle Sr. He was in Jaws, Jaws 2, Sequest, DSV, Romeo is Bleeding, and Blue Thunder. You have Laura Herring as Livia Saint. She was in The Shield, Gossip Girl, NCIS Los Angeles. You have Ben Foster, who plays Spacker Dave. He was in Flash Forward, 6 Feet Under, the TV show, 3:10 to Yuma, Warcraft, X-Men, The Last Stand. He played Angel. And then you also have Rebecca Romijn as Joanne, who plays X-Men, who was an X-Men trilogy. She voices Lois Lane in Death and Reign of Superman, and she was also in The Librarians. And you also have a composer, Carlos Saloido, who has been in a lot of Italian movies. And you know what? Yeah. I want to say, and I wrote it down in my prose because it wasn't a bad thing, but the intro song made me feel like I was going to watch Zorro. And this makes so much sense to me to why it sounded so like...
I think this was one of his only like two or three American-made movies that he did, but he composed for like a lot of Italian movies. So they said that... Hensley, he said when he wanted to make this movie, he wanted a composer that would make you feel the highs and lows emotionally of this movie, and that's why he went with this guy.
It's so interesting because like I didn't see it until now. Carlo, like, he made me feel like I was about to watch Zorro. I had to like double check that I was actually in the right movie because it just, for me, it didn't sit well. It took me off a little bit just because I was expecting something else. Yeah, okay. I was expecting Thomas Jane to start writing it with a sombrero. Like, I don't know. with a mustache.
This movie made me want to go make some Italian pasta sauce and sing some opera.
Oh, my.
I can tell you,
we will never hear this composer again in any more of the movies we've done. So we have on a list so far.
Mike checked.
Oh, so box office. All right, the runtime is 1 hour and 59 minutes. It's rated R for pervasive, brutal violence.
Oh yeah.
Duh. Language and brief nudity. Its release date was April 16, 2004. With a budget of $33 million.
Wow.
And that's an interesting number. I don't know if it's mentioned. Okay, yeah, it's mentioned in the filming notes as to why that number is so low. The opening weekend domestic was $13.8 million. Rake it in the bucks on that.
How much of that budget was John Travolta's salary, I wonder?
$31 million of that.
Ouch.
And then the lifetime domestic gross was $33.8 million. Worldwide gross was $54 million. The Rotten Tomatoes gives it a critic score of 29%. Once again, the critics are wrong. And it gives an audience score of 63%.
It's not bad.
Yeah. No, it's not.
We've seen worse.
I have seen worse. We just got done watching.
We have seen worse.
Yes, we have
definitely seen worse. The Phantom.
Okay, for movie rankings, for comic book adaptations, this ranks 120th, and that is out of 169. So just to give a little...
what is the last one on that one?
120th is Judge Dredd, then 121 would be The Punisher, and then followed by RIPD, which I had to look up. It's Rest in Peace Department, yes, which I've never even heard of, and then The Shadows right after that. The very last one on this list is, for Mike there, Swamp Thing. From 1982.
Okay, yeah. We skipped that movie. There's a reason. Yes,
for a good reason.
Yes.
So this is 98th for superhero movies, 44 for superhero origin movies, and 51 for Marvel Comics. Looking at Marvel Comics, that one is out of 56.
Ouch.
It's right behind Ghost Rider, right in front of Elektra.
Wow.
The last one being Man-Thing, which, well, it says not applicable. 55 is Inhumans.
Oh, wow.
Ouch.
Damn.
That's a bad list.
It's a rough ending there.
Yeah.
And then for the charts, it was about 2,400 for all-time domestic, 83 for movies in 2004, and 90th for worldwide for 2004.
Okay, cool.
It did pretty poorly, like 83 out of a whole entire year.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah, and there was not as many movies during 2004 as there are now, that big name movies that come out every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so some filming and release notes. Hellboy came out 2 weeks before this. The week eight, and this was released the same week Kill Bill Volume 2 came out.
Of course it did poorly.
Of course it did poorly.
Now I know.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. When this was released on DVD in September 2004, it surprised Marvel by selling nearly 2 million copies in its first 5 days. Originally, The Punisher was supposed to have a sidekick, David Lieberman, alias Microchip, the Intel Man. He was written out as the director had an intense dislike of the character. Aw, I like Microchip. The original film with no edits clocked in at 2 hours 56 minutes.
Oh, Lord.
Shooting in Tampa was a double-edged sword. On one hand, the city's downtown area has no residential area, so it would be completely emptied out by the end of the working day, ideal for a film crew. But the city is also prone to lightning storms that roll in suddenly and very violently. The summer the film came out, the summer that the film crew shot in Tampa was the city's wettest since 1890. Yikes.
That was because Thomas Jane and John Travolta were in Tampa.
Grease lightning.
Ooh. Oh my God, Mike.
I wasn't going to go there.
Oh dear.
The Punisher marked Marvel's first major independent release as an equity owner, whereby it contributes characters and creative support to lower budget picks in exchange for a financial stake in the negative cost. Before filming began, Hensley was not given the budget he wanted or needed from the studio. He knew that most action pictures get a budget of around $64 million. He was only given $33 million, with only $15.5 million going towards the shooting budget and post-production for the film, and only 52 days to shoot, which is half the time allocated for most action pictures. Ouch.
Wow.
Also, most of the original script had to be edited and rewritten due to time, many times due to budget issues.
I'm curious to know what it could have been.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I enjoyed a majority of the practical effects in this. It's nice coming to some practical effects after seeing a bunch of CGI movies. Because there was a ton of practical effects.
But now
in this
I don't want to be as hard on it because, like, they were put in a hard place where, like.
Well, I can definitely tell you I enjoyed this movie greatly. Yeah, it had its flaws, but I was actually very happy with this movie.
It was dark.
I had no problem with dark.
Very dark.
I will say that I've been a bit spoiled by Netflix though.
Yes.
How is The Punisher? I haven't watched
it
yet.
It's really good.
I like John Bernthal.
Don't worry, that's why we're here for you.
I really wish I had seen this movie before the Netflix shows dropped, because now I'm kind of spoiled. But we'll get into that later. Andrea, we have some casting notes here.
Ooh, casting. Okay. All right. So, wow, you're reading all that. So, yeah. Hugh Jackman was actually offered to play Frank Castle, but passed on it instead because he was starring in Van Helsing in 2004. And I actually don't mind that. I actually like Thomas Jane in this role, and I like Hugh Jackman in Van Helsing.
Hugh Jackman in Greatest Showman. All right.
I like Hugh Jackman in most things I've seen him in.
Exactly.
So now you mentioned... what was the ranking? I can't remember the ranking now. It was ranked number 90 worldwide.
90
for 2004 release.
For 2004 release, it was ranked. I'm trying to see if it's worldwide. Okay, so it's actually ranked 83rd now, from what I'm looking on here. But in that same movie. We had, in that same year, some of these movies will make you laugh. We had Catwoman with Halle Berry came out.
Oh, God.
Bridget Jones, The Edge of Reason. Oh, here we go, Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, dear.
The number one and number two movies for 2004 were Shrek 2 and Spider-Man 2.
Yep.
Yep.
Just to throw that out there, Incredibles also came out that year.
Meet the Fockers came out.
Oh, I love it.
Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
iRobot.
50 First Dates.
Yes.
Dodgeball. A True Underdog Story came out. Ooh, M. Night Shyamalan's The Village came out that year, too.
That was Princess an interesting movie. That's weird.
Princess Diaries 2. Royal Engagement.
Alien vs. Predator.
Ooh. Yep. Anchorman. The Legend of Ron Burgundy.
I've never watched those movies. My parents prohibited that.
The Chronicles of Riddick also came with that.
Oh, ooh, I love
really?
That.
I love that movie.
The remake of Dawn of the Dead came out. The Butterfly Effect movie came out that year, too.
Oh, Butterfly Effect.
Nice.
The first Saw movie came out that year.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
And now we're on Saw 29.
Sky Captain and the World for Tomorrow, World of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember
Team America,
that movie.
World Police.
Yes! I can't sing that song.
America.
Oh, dear.
There's some interesting movies came out in 2004. So, anyways, moving on. We're going to talk a little bit, since this is probably the only... No, we do have another Punisher movie. But kind of an origin of where he came from. He was created by Jerry Conway and... Ross Andrew and John Romita, and he first appeared in Amazing Spider-Man issue 129 in 1974. Frank Castle was born Francis Castiglione into Italian-American parents and considered joining the Catholic priesthood before signing up for the U.S. Marine Corps. A complete detour.
That escalated quickly.
Complete differently. He was a military prodigy and became an expert in weapons and reconnaissance as well as a sniper. He received demolition training as a SEAL, served during Special Forces when this came out during the Vietnam War. And he had a very peculiar taste for violence. Back after Vietnam, his wife and children were murdered by the Costa crime family in Central Park while on a picnic after witnessing a mob execution. Corrupt cops denied Castle justice, so he set himself up as a vigilante assassin, the Punisher, to get revenge on not just his family killers, but also on criminals as a whole. He's been a pretty pretty stable person along the Marvel superheroes. Just looking through this list and just a little bit about him, He did first appear as a Spider-Man villain and targeted the wall crawler because he thought he murdered Norman Osborn.
Mm.
Which, okay, this could have been interesting if they could have found a way to wrap this into the first Spider-Man we did.
Yeah,
Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, because that would have been interesting.
Yeah, I don't think that would have, worked with the way Sam Raimi did the trilogy, but that could be been interesting.
Why would he have cared about Osborn?
Because because Norman was dead and he thought Spider-Man was a villain, so he was going after him to kill him.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, Jameson always makes Spider-Man out to be a villain, so maybe he reads too much Daily Bugle. Who knows?
Could be.
Maybe, yeah.
It says he never kind of clicked with Matt Murdock. Well, yeah, we saw that. We know that.
no doubt.
He got his own series finally in 1986. And Marvel was not very enthusiastic about it. And they pretty much looked at the editor, Carl Potts, and said that, hey, it is your responsibility if this experiment fails.
Dear God.
Well, it is a problematic anti-hero.
Right.
Like, yeah. You're kind of, it's kind of like Dexter, like, you shouldn't really root for somebody that murders, but, like, you're kind of, like, sugarcoating it with, oh, he's only murdering bad guys. Like, it's
right.
Not good, right?
No, it's
it's like an eye for an eye makes the world go blind. Like, you shouldn't, that's not the way you should go about
it. And it promoted a lot of violence inside of comic books that kids were going to be reading. So Steve Grant's hard-boiled 5-issue Circle of Blood, in which the Punisher breaks out of jail on Rikers Island and is given a carte blanche to start killing again by a mysterious organization, remains one of the title's highest watermarks and cemented the Punisher's place in Marvel's top tier for years to come. It wasn't all plain sailing, though. By the mid-19s, sales had stalled. Ill-advised attempts to rebrand the Punisher got the derision they deserved, like the short-lived series that had Castle killed and resurrected as a supernatural entity in the employ of Angels.
Okay.
Constantine!
Finally got superpowers.
I know. it was only when writer Garth Ennis and artist Steve Dillon, just off Vertigo's Preacher series, made the surprise move to Marvel to revive the character that Punisher really found his feet again, allowed more graphic violence than previously in the Marvel nightstand. The new Punisher was both eye-wateringly gruesome and scariestly funny. Ennis then rebooted again with the even more quote-unquote adult, brutal, and generally more serious Max line, beginning with the newly fleshed-out Vietnam set origin story Born, before pitting Castle against hissable villains like sex traffickers, terrorists, and I'm not going to say that word, Barracuda. Ennis moved on after 100 or so issues, but laid important groundwork that his successors, for the most part, have stuck to. Although the less has been said about Franklin Castle, the better. So, it seemed like he's had his ups and downs. He hasn't exactly been, I guess, the most popular anti-hero out there.
Other anti-heroes that we know of? Just
Deadpool?
Ghost Rider.
Deadpool, Ghost Rider. Pretty much the biggest ones outside of Punisher that I can think of.
Right.
Is Punisher the first or one of the first?
Maybe.
I think Punisher was one of the first ones.
Punisher, maybe Ghost Rider.
Anybody in the DC area that we can think of that's an anti-hero, really?
Lobo.
Yeah, Lobo would be. Lobo would be one.
Batman, depending on
no.
His mood.
Screw Zack Snyder. Next.
Never mind.
Very, very high feelings about that right now.
Spawn is an anti-hero, isn't he?
Who?
Spawn?
Spawn, yeah.
Now, you could say Nightwing.
Maybe. Constantine.
Hawk and Dove.
Constantine is definitely an anti-hero.
Yes.
So, there's a couple, but I think Punisher is the most well-renowned anti-hero out there, outside of Deadpool, I would think.
Wolverine?
Yeah, Wolverine.
Kinda. He's kind of here and there.
Yeah.
So, but as far as our backgrounds go, let's talk a little bit about how we know the Punisher. I never read him in the comics. This is the first time I've ever known about the Punisher, was watching this movie. I think I watched it about 10 years ago. Because, see, most of the time, until about 2008, 2007, 2008, I didn't really see these movies in theaters. Mm-hmm. Not that I wasn't old enough. I just wasn't really heavy into it. So I probably watched this one about 10 years ago when I was like, oh, there was a Punisher movie. Let me watch this. And, yeah. That was my background with it. Andrew, what about what about you?
I was first introduced to the Punisher when Jon Bernthal played him in Daredevil. He's an interesting character. Not really my favorite, but I think the way that Jon portrays him is fabulous. So this was actually my first time watching Thomas Jane's Punisher. So it was really interesting.
All right, what about you, Carrie?
Well, like most Marvel characters that are not X-Men, my familiarity with the Punisher is mostly from the one or two episodes of Spider-Man the Animated Series that he made an appearance on, which is fitting because apparently since he first showed up in Spider-Man. I knew about this movie and Warzone and the 90s movie, which we skipped, but I never saw any of them. I may have flipped through the comics once or twice when I had access to them, but I never really got interested in the character until the Netflix shows.
Okay. So out of everything you just said, here's what struck me the most. The fact that the Punisher was in one or two episodes of the children's animated series Spider-Man.
Yes.
How did that one work?
I'd have to go back and watch it, but he was Huggy Spider-Man.
So you had a gun-toting.
Yep. Complete with microchip.
Wow.
Yeah.
The 80s were a different time.
The 80s and 90s were a different time.
Well, I grew up watching Batman the Animated Series, but I don't remember Spider-Man the series as well, and I just don't remember. The best 90s, early 2000s I remember was Static Shock and X-Men Evolution. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So, Fred, what about you? What was your background with this movie?
I knew nothing about Punisher until the movie came out in 2004. I did watch it in theater with a bunch of friends, and I enjoyed it then for what it was. It was pretty dark, so I never really followed it through the part two that came out. And I still haven't seen the Netflix series.
Okay.
It's really good.
It's on my to watch list. I have seen Daredevil, so I'm familiar with the new character.
Okay.
And everybody says how good it is, but since it's been canceled, it just hasn't been high on my list to watch.
Yeah, that's why I'm not too thrilled to watch Jessica Jones, not just because I don't like Jessica Jones, but I don't on the Netflix, but it's going to get canceled anyway, so we know it's coming. They just keep pushing it further back. So that's how I was. I went too thrilled back because I knew it was going to get canceled anyways. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the characters. Let's talk about one of the big ones. First, let's talk about Thomas Jane. What did y'all think about Thomas Jane?
I really liked him as Castle. I think Jon Bernthal is better, but I really like this version of Frank Castle. He starts out a little more laid back than in the Punisher series, on the Netflix series.
I like Thomas Jane as Castle. I like John as the Punisher. Just this crazy, like, John has, like, such a crazy, like, aspect to him that, like, you're really scared to go on at him. He had that with The Walking Dead. Like, he's so menacing. But Thomas Jane has that, like, family-oriented kind of feel to him that... I guess, like, maybe when I see his Netflix series, like, I'll change my opinion. But I just feel like that's how I can appreciate Thomas Jane's character.
I liked him, too. I think he did do a very good Castle. I kind of agree with you, Andrew. I think Jon Bernthal did a great job as Punisher himself. Because he just had that, like you said, he had that crazy mentality. Like, I don't know if I really want to mess with this dude. And but yeah, I enjoyed Tommy. This is the first time I've ever seen Thomas Jane in anything. So I was very surprised. I was like, okay, he's cool. Mm-hmm. He's cool. He's got it.
Watch The Expanse.
Yeah, watch The Expanse.
I'm working on it. I have to finish Constantine first. I'm working on it.
It's very interesting. Like, I don't know why, but when at the beginning of the movie, he's wearing sandals when he's like approaching like the weapons dealers. And Thomas Jane has this thing where he doesn't wear shoes, even like on like red carpet premieres and stuff like that, and it's so interesting. So when I saw the sandals, I was like, that's typical Thomas Jane, because he never wears shoes. I don't know.
Wow.
It's just like a fun tidbit for everybody who wants to know about shoeless Neat. Actors.
So Fred, what do you think about Jane on this one?
I think Andrea's right. I really did like him as Frank Castle. The police officer mentality that he was throwing off, it felt like Lethal Weapon. It felt like Riggs.
Yeah. Kind of yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So I thought he played that part really well. But as Punisher, I think he did a pretty good job. I was very happy with his portrayal. But I'm very curious to watch the new Punisher series for a comparison.
Okay. So now let's talk about Mr. Grease Lightning himself, John Travolta. I thought he played a great villain.
Yeah, me too.
I love it when he plays a villain in his movies.
Yeah.
Over just the hero. I think he did a good job.
Yeah, can be very menacing when he's a villain. So I really like that. I was having some flashes to current events, and that's all I'm going to say, at least as far as this character is concerned. but yeah, he was good.
I kept having flashes to Swordfish, to be honest.
I haven't seen enough of Swordfish to
I haven't seen it either.
I'm
very similar role where he's very cold, he's very methodical, he's, you know, in charge. So a very similar role, and I liked him in both.
I've seen Face Off, and when he's playing the villain on that one, he's menacing and kind of crazy. But yeah, I'll give you that.
I'm trying to look at some of the work that he's done, and honestly, like, I don't know if I like him as a villain. I don't know where John Travolta as an actor fits for me. Like, he's not bad, but he's not the best. I feel like sometimes it looks like his acting is out of his comfort zone. I did not find him intimidating in this particular movie. I thought that the only reason why he could have potentially looked intimidating was because of the people around him. I felt that the introduction of his wife had so much potential because she was mysterious during the funeral scene.
She was cold.
Oh, yeah.
There was so much more potential to her. They could have shown her killing someone or something like that because of how ruthless they made her feel.
They could have had her actually being the brains behind everything.
And that would have been fascinating.
Yeah. I think if they were to do that movie now, that they might have gone that direction.
So yeah, like I thought he was fantastic. I do have a lot of respect for John Travolta, so he's done good works, but it wasn't the best villain.
Yeah, I will say I thought Glass was more intimidating than Saint.
Yes. I did like
piercings off of people.
I thought he was a great villain and a great interrogator.
No. We'll get to that.
I understand what Andrea's trying to say, though, in the way that John Travolta acts and his presence behind or in front of the camera is very similar to like Nicolas Cage, where you can tell it's their movie and action is on them all the time.
Yeah.
And the way that they are and the way that they interact is different from other actors.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So we talked a little bit about Olivia Saint. We talked a little bit about John Travolta and Quentin Glass and let's talk about. So one person I really did not like is I did not like Joanne's character or Joe Jones' character. I feel like she just plays a woman in love with the macho man she can't have. She was just, it just, I don't know how to describe it.
And it was unnecessary.
Right, it was unnecessary. She starts crying when he leaves. And all he ever did was beat that one guy up for her. And it's just like, now she's just like madly in love with him. And she's so worried about him. And he pretty much told her, you know, I'm not the kind of man that you want. I'm not the kind of man you're looking for. I'm like, come on, did we really need that in her?
So that whole family, that new family situation with that...
It felt like it should have been from in a different movie.
Bumpo!
Bumpo. Yeah, it should have been in a different movie. That's what it felt like. But I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to, like, humanize Frank Castle, bring him back, make him less dark, give him a reason to continue living. He's part of a new family, and pulling him off the ledge. I think that's what they were trying to do, but it was poorly written. It was probably cut out because of...
budget.
The rewrites and the budget, which is really sad. I really wanted to see how that
worked. Well, also,
his
presence in that building puts them all in danger. And...
Yeah, so... You're right. They should have cut out the entire thing if they were going to.
Yeah.
I think it would have worked better.
I think it would have worked better if he had been in, like, a Blade situation where he just, you know, finds a warehouse to work out of and doesn't and stays off the radar as much as possible until he makes his move.
And that there's a drug junkie, and that's Dave. I mean, we could have done
Dave. Good old Dave.
Poor Dave.
I don't like that it's kind of like a requirement to the recipe of a lot of movies that characters need to have a love interest. This movie could have gone without having this character have feelings for Castle. Like, I could have done without it.
Yeah.
I felt the same way when I watched Solo. I did not care to see him with another woman other than Leia. I could not care for Kira. So I just feel like you don't need that to have a good movie. You don't need that to attract a different audience if that's the purpose of it. I do agree with you. Joanne's character just... we could have done without her.
I think in a lot of these earlier movies that we're watching here in the superhero genre, you're going to see a lot of gotta have a love interest. But as we get further into the 2010s, you're going to start seeing that kind of pull away a little bit more.
Right.
So that they don't have to have it. They don't have to. For example, we just got, you know, we've all seen Captain Marvel by now.
Right.
There is no love interest in Captain Marvel, really.
Yes, there is. The cat.
Alright, well.
Come on, Mike.
That's the cat. I'm so sorry. You know, there's no love interest in Shazam, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But it's you know, you're starting to see that pull away. But in these movies, you're going to see that, like, regardless. When we see Spider-Man, you know, our next movie up is going to be Spider-Man 2. You're going to have that Mary Jane Peter Parker relationship.
Right.
You know, you're going to see, you know, we're going to watch The Incredibles. There's not really much anything in The Incredibles, I don't think.
Other than, like, family values.
Right, other than family values and stuff. And then, you know, we'll eventually watch Blade Trinity. You're going to have somebody is going to have something that they enjoy. So,
it's Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. Like, come on.
Ryan Reynolds.
I'll let that one go.
Deadpool's in, in Blade Trinity. So, but yeah, I'm not a big fan of Joan's character. And anybody else besides Specker and Bumpo?
the three of them were good. The two boys were good were decent characters, but all three of them should have been in a different movie. They felt very out of place.
Yeah.
No, but yeah.
So, as far as the effects and the story, as far as they age, I felt the opening credits was just were terrible. I felt like it was an absolute wash.
I think we've gotten used to movies not really having opening credits anymore.
But I've seen other movies before this that had great opening credits.
Yeah.
and CGI, but you could tell that their budget was not in this movie when they made the opening credits.
But also in my head, I was comparing it to the opening credits for The Punisher and going, this is wrong somehow.
I feel like the story in this movie is a typical Punisher story. He makes someone mad, they kill his family, he seeks revenge. It's a good story. It's just a typical story.
John Wick.
Because their budget was so small, there was a lot of practical effects, and I honestly thought the practical effects in this movie were really good. I enjoy special effects and CGI and that kind of thing, but to me, I really love when somebody can do something, a practical kind of effect, and really draw me into the movie and make it really good. And I thought they did a good job in this movie. What was the last movie we watched that the guy was got blown up with like the really bad fire? Which one was I? Which
Hulk?
Movie was
Hulk? Oh my god! Okay. Why do you remember this?
Comparing that blow up to the part to the one where Frank Castle's on the pier and you see an actual body go toward the water. I'm like, okay, yeah. That looked so much better than what we got in the Hulk movie. You didn't have to have all that big CGI budget. But I thought the story is just a typical story. It's a good story. I thought the effects were really good for just having the low budget they had.
I have to agree with you. I did not find any moments where the practical effects or anything that they used threw me away from the movie. We have seen some movies that you can definitely see where the special effects and stuff do appear. I do have a very big appreciation for practical effects because they do take a lot of time, like just to for example, like a gunshot, it does take and require a lot for an actor to feel like they're actually getting shot and stuff like that, or just a big explosion, just pyrotechnics and stuff like that. So I do enjoy that aspect of it because they did really a good job with what they had.
Great. Yeah, this had a bit of a 80s, 90s feel to it. At least story-wise and with some of the just some of the setup with it, which isn't to say that the movie is bad. It's just that it's less sophisticated than what we would see if they were making this today.
Yeah.
I think mostly it goes back to, I mean, my sticking point is just throwing Jones, Becker, and Bumpo into the mix is just it feels like something that they would have done in the 80s or 90s, and they wouldn't have done some. They would have maybe tried to change that a bit if they were doing this now. If they were doing this movie now. Okay. But
they had a classic 80s, 90s montage.
Yeah, I agree. I liked that part.
I was waiting for like Cobra Kai to show up.
Oh god.
But yeah, I agree with all of you that I think this movie has aged very well for what it is. The lack of CGI really helped it age well. Mm-hmm. The practical effects, even though a lot of them were way over the top, stand the test of time.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I agree. All right. Well, let's move on into some things that we let's look at some things that we kind of liked about the movie. Anybody want to kind of jump in first? Some pros, some things that you kind of liked about it.
I thought that the way that Frank develops that idea of like, oh, your wife is cheating on you and builds up those blocks was fascinating.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Because although what's the bad guy's name? I'm losing
Saint.
Him.
Saint.
Saint Howard.
Yeah.
Saint.
So Saint destroys his family, but what the Punisher does is uses him as the hand, as the weapon to destroy his own family. Like, it was just so fascinating to see Saint destroy
right.
His love and
Saint destroy himself.
So the Punisher uses the weapon, and the weapon is Saint, and that's fabulous. I really enjoy it, and just the fact that he throws the pictures at him and just I set you up, like, yippee-ki-yay, mofos. It was fantastic. I didn't say a bad word.
I know. I do agree with you. I think it's good. He spends so the first 30 minutes you see his family, la-di-da-da, all these kind of things. And if the next hour to an hour and 15 minutes you see him set this thing up, and then in 10 minutes you see everything come crumbling down on top of Howard Saint in 10 minute time.
It was amazing. I really enjoyed that. And it was really interesting when he's you killed my son. And then you hear his son blow up in the background. I killed both. Oh, I thought it was great. One.
Damn.
I thought that was fantastic. Yeah, I enjoyed the, just how they did the Frank being an undercover agent. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, well, he's dead. The movie's over. I really wasn't catching on to it. I really appreciated it. The popsicle torture was so funny.
I love the popsicle torture. That was awesome.
It was really unique. I don't really think the Punisher would do that, though. As sadistic as he is.
I think I could see Joel Edberto's character doing that with someone who doesn't really want to talk, who's too afraid to talk, but doesn't deserve to be, ripped to pieces.
Right. I don't know.
But
I think really, it was fabulous.
I really love that. I want Frank's trench coat because that's my 90s fashion statement coming back to haunt me.
I love the reveal at the beginning of Frank being the mole and the undercover.
Oh yeah,
job.
that was good.
Yep,
that was interesting. I thought he had a whole 50s Grease Lightning vibe look when he gets back home. And then we talked about Frank's family getting killed. It's a good scene the way they did it, but
tragic.
It's a very emotional scene to watch.
It can be very triggering. I can imagine that scene triggering a lot of people today. It was brutal.
Frank looks like Tom Hanks from Castaway.
Oh yeah,
when he shows back on the beach.
Yeah,
I was waiting for Wilson to show up.
I'm pretty sure. I think Fred did scream Wilson.
Wilson.
The standoff in the lobby with the two guys, I enjoyed that as well. I enjoyed the simplicity of him being able to pull down the metal shields in his car.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he says, never bring a knife to it. The other guy says, never bring a knife to a gun. I love the way he just, I don't know the guy, I can't remember the guy's name, but he just kind of walks in to the restaurant and just starts strumming a song to Frank.
And he
just leaves.
That was weird.
Didn't get
that
it.
That was really, really weird. I was like, musical.
Well, he was calling him out.
Yeah, but it's musical interview and interlude. What WTF?
Is he a songwriter or something?
I thought that. I just kind of attributed that to maybe being a shout out to the comic story.
Yeah,
but I have no idea.
I don't know either.
I think what he was doing was saying, "Hey, Frank, you've been targeted, and this song is to you because I'm coming for you."
And I'll be singing that at your funeral, which is what he says.
So then when he gets flipped over, he looks at me and says, never bring a knife to a gunfight, and Frank just fires that knife at him, hits him right in the throat. And then I can't remember where this quote was, "I'm fine, he's not."
Yeah.
That was good.
Oh, it's when the Russian stumbles down
over
the stairs and
that's
they ask him if he's okay. Yeah, yeah.
The Russian Popeye. The paper cutter death is one I have actually thought about using against zombies. I don't know why. And then I love the end where he had the skull shape and the exploding cars.
I love it.
Yeah, that was a bit reminiscent of The Crow for me, but I really liked it.
There goes the rest of their budget right there. In that one scene.
Yep.
So what else about y'all?
I think I echo a lot of what everyone else has brought up here, but even though it wasn't a very deep movie in the storyline, it was very well executed from beginning to end, with the exception of maybe the missing pieces for the new family of the three people. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, I think it was pretty well done.
Okay.
I honestly, like, now that you guys have mentioned it, if you would have just found, like, a hideout or something and... Like, seriously, not a having layer. All three of them. Pardon?
Gotta have a layer. A layer. Gotta have a
layer. Yeah, yeah. Like,
I know
like
a great real estate agent in Philly.
Or something. Yeah, and just have Dave be there as the drug addict or just, like, trying to find his way because his mom was in like, jail and stuff like that. I think it would have been cool because, although I hate the scene, like, The interrogation scene is so powerful and just shows that, like, this guy, like, is trying to help the Punisher. And I, again, I had to forward that scene just because I couldn't take it. And I'm really good sometimes watching, like, torture stuff, like Game of Thrones. Like, I just... could not deal with it because of how real it felt. Thanks, Mike. I don't appreciate you trying to pull your non-existent piercing. It's one of my fears, like, getting my ear piercings, like, stuck somewhere or having a pierced anything, like, hooked. Yeah. It's disgusting, and I had to skip forward because I couldn't deal with the scene. So props to them for making me feel like that. I just did not like it at all.
I had forgotten about that scene when then when I saw him go into there with him, I was like, oh, I remember this scene now. Ugh. And I know that whole scene was actually impromptu. That was not in. So they were supposed to have an interrogation, but it was all kind of freestyle there. So they liked it so much they kept it in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, just when he starts that to was scream all after made the, by after Will they're Patton. Going for the second piercing, like. He did so well as an actor, and it just, I felt everything.
And Will Patton's voice, and just what he was saying, mm-hmm. and tapping the...
Those are nice earrings.
The pliers together.
Those are, oh, man. Those are nice earrings, buddy. You know, just a slow, calm voice. And
somebody ever says that to me, I'm calling 911.
Mm-hmm. I'm done. Oh... But yeah, it was a good. Anything else that y'all thought was good before we move on to some things that we're kind of
less than
had
good
some issues with? Yeah, less than good. Great. So let's talk a little bit about some things that we kind of didn't like. One of the first things I had was how the Russian looked like a Popeye villain.
Yes.
Yeah. And
like, what is with that striped shirt? Like, way to give so much attention to yourself.
That was weird.
It was a good scene. It's just, it was a very weird scene.
It's as hard as it is to watch Frank's family get killed. What happened to the truck between it running down Maria and coming back for Frank? There is no room to turn that truck around. There was no room on that pier to turn the truck around. The truck runs down Frank's wife and kid, and it's gone. And then it's coming back the other way. Like, where did it turn around?
Don't ask these questions.
Sorry, that took me out of the entire...
Practical effects, Carrie. Practical effects.
That scene was cut.
Deleted scene.
It's as hard as everything. As hard as all that was to watch, that just took me out. I was like, where'd the truck go? Okay.
I guess, like, with that, I could say his wife and his son's body were really perfect. They should have been a little bit more deflated. Bloody. Like, can't say that. That's so bad.
No, well, I just did. You know, it should have been bloodier or something. I don't know. It was weird having this movie take place in Florida after two seasons plus a season of Daredevil of Frank in New York. That just felt weird.
Right.
Again, musical interlude. What? WTF? I had an issue with, you know, Frank not keeping a low profile. while he was plotting out what he was trying to do, and it was weird. Like, and then he just puts Joan and the two boys in danger because they somehow find him. Yep. I didn't like that at all.
I found that a lot of the explosions that were in the movie were just way bigger and more excessive than they really should have been, and that kept taking me out of the scene. Some of the explosions should not have even involved fire, but yet they did.
I had no problems with the explosions.
Okay, it looks good. Frank Castle gets shot in the chest twice with a shotgun.
Yeah.
At point blank range.
And he survives. I had a problem with that.
He should have not lived through a lot of the things that he went through.
He should not have survived, like, the first
He should have lived off the... He should have lived off the pier. I mean, he got shot twice, and then he got shot right in the chest, straight point blank, and then he got blown up off the pier.
Yeah, he should have lived.
He should have died in the salt water.
At least they acknowledge that in the movie. They're like, he should not have lived. Why is he still alive, right?
Yeah.
So, at least we'll give him that one. There was the scene where Saint and Quentin are fighting, and John Travolta stabs him like 3 or 4 times, and every time he pulls a knife out, there's no blood on it.
Yeah. I found that the blood was very inconsistent in this movie.
Yeah.
At the very beginning, I was expecting a lot of blood, and then I was like, oh, there's no blood in this, like, family massacre. Maybe this is not really a rated R movie. And then, it took me away because, again, I don't like seeing blood, but I would have expected it because of how brutal it was. And then you see that scene with the knife that it slices into his jugular, and, like, you see the blood spewing out. Like, that's what I've expected throughout the whole entire movie. So that's something that I do have to say was very confusing for me.
Yeah, so, yeah. It's like if they were going for the R rating, they should have just kept going with it.
Yes.
The only reason to tone down the blood is if they were trying to make a PG-13 movie, which apparently they weren't.
Exactly.
I really wish I had seen this before I saw the Netflix shows, because Netflix has spoiled me for any version of The Punisher. Other than that.
The kind of going along the same lines that you said, Andrew, about the blood and stuff. This is going to sound very cold and callous when I say this, but one thing I feel like when his family got ran over, it was like they turned like kind of like very 60s, 70s sitcom-ish, and then you next thing you see is they're on the ground, there's no blood, no scrapes, nothing on his family, and I'm like, you know, if his family just got hit at like full speed, then
like, I don't want to be that dark and sadistic,
but their body should not be intact like that. There should be, you know,
no
pieces of them all over the pier.
Yeah.
Right. That kind of bothered me a little bit. Again, they struggle to find him, yet all of a sudden the Popeye villain shows up at his apartment. Like, oh, we don't know where he's at. Oh, wait, but now we do.
Yeah, exactly. And then he fights the Russian, the Popeye villain.
Yeah.
Passes out, gets stitches, and then sleeps for the whole interrogation, and then he wakes up and he's fine, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so many times in this movie, there's scenes where there's people with injuries and it doesn't slow anyone down.
Yeah.
So maybe that's their superhuman power.
Well, now I know I forgot where I read this at, but they said that the Punisher is actually one that Frank is actually in the comics very, very, I don't want to say immune to pain, but even
he's sensitized.
I think so,
very,
yeah.
Very, very desensitized, and somebody else said that, somebody who usually takes a lot of pain said, I can't even do that, and he said he is so desensitized to pain and focused on vengeance that even mind control does not work on him, because he pretty much says, you know, you can keep trying, it's not going to work. I forgot where I had read that on.
And again, John's character portrayal of the Punisher makes me feel that.
again, yeah. And I'm going to bring The Walking Dead again. When he plays Shane, this is a character that he bashes his head into a tree just to pretend that somebody else caused him harm. He does not feel that pain. He's just going through the motions of anger. And I love that portrayal of the character because that is kind of like his quote unquote superpower.
Yeah. Anything else?
Puerto Rico seems like it's uninhabited. One guy.
Gary in the background.
Where is Gary? I'm right here. It was a remote part of the island.
Okay.
Brad said he's never going to Puerto Rico.
Because nobody's there.
Seems a very kind of... Yeah.
And another point that I'd hear was they never wrapped up the Cuban brother story.
Yeah, that,
I know,
that,
right?
That was weird.
Yeah, I wish we could have got, you know, some more of him, but we didn't. Anything else, guys?
Nope.
No.
All right. Well, if that is it, let's...
I think we found our plot hole, Fred. We don't know what happened to the Cubans.
Well, maybe they left it for episode 2.
Huh.
Warzone.
Dun,
dun, dun. Dum, dum. All right. Well, Fred, why don't you tell us a little bit about some back stuff, some trivia about this movie?
All right. Jumping into the trivia. Total body count, 45 kills.
Seems very low, by the way, for a Punisher movie.
There should be more really people low. Dead in this movie.
But, John Wick did it better.
Yeah, agreed.
Damn.
Not a superhero.
Damn it!
They couldn't afford enough extras.
Yeah.
While filming their knife fight scene, Thomas Jane accidentally stabbed Kevin Nash.
Oh my god.
Hmm.
Whoopsies. See?
Sorry, buddy.
Like, was it
Kevin Nash was the Russian, yeah?
Yes, he was the Popeye villain.
Yeah. Okay.
Thomas Jane trained for nearly 7 months with the United States Navy SEALs and gained more than 20 pounds of muscle in doing so.
Wow. Yeah.
That sounds intense. Thomas Jane initially turned down the role twice, as well as a part in X-Men, the 2000 version, as he didn't see himself as a superhero actor.
Aww.
He only became interested in the character after being asked to play him for the second time, and he had seen Timothy Badstreet's artwork of the character.
Yeah, he doesn't look like a superhero type. He looks like a more sadistic horror movie kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Mike alluded to this one earlier. Much of the torture exchange between Will Patton and Ben Foster was improvised.
Yep.
A close-up shot of a bodyguard getting hit in the head with a paper cutter was cut due to the MPAA saying it was too real.
Well, that explains why the violence looks as real as it does in the movie.
Thanks, MPAA. Appreciate you guys.
Apparently that's not a problem anymore with R-rated movies. As much of a problem.
Well, this was so 15 years ago.
Yeah, true.
Thomas Jane's discolored thumbnail was the result of him slamming it in a door and has nothing to do with the story.
I noticed that. I was like, why is he painting his nails like that dude playing the guitar? Like, are they BFFs now painting their nails? Now that makes sense. Oh, okay.
Next, the scene with the explosion in front of the Bank of America building was not adequately publicized, and hundreds of people called 911 thinking it was an actual explosion.
Yeah, this is why there are ample warnings about stuff now. I remember when they were filming the Italian Job across the street from where I was working at the time, they had advisories all over the place about the explosions.
I work downtown Vancouver, and there's a lot of filming on the street that I work on, and there's the sandwich boards everywhere. We get emails at work on what's going to be happening, right down to what scenes are going to be filmed, explosions, car chases, blah, blah, blah. They don't go into, like, they'll always use a fake name for the movie. Well, except for the lower named ones or commercials or whatnot, but yeah.
Huh.
It's interesting. The last film to be produced by Artisan Entertainment, Lionsgate purchased purchased Artisan Entertainment midway through production.
Hmm.
Very interesting. I didn't know that.
And no, everybody, Disney does not own Lionsgate. Not yet.
Yet.
Not yet.
A sequel was planned but couldn't get off the ground. Director Jonathan Heinzlein, star Thomas Jane, and screenwriters could not agree. Various screenwriters came on board and part of the project. Eventually, Heinzlein left. Finally, Thomas Jane left after a search for a new director that agreed with his vision of the sequel failed. The project was then scrapped. One of the screenplays would eventually be reworked into Punisher Warzone.
That movie, if I remember, was really bad. Oh, good luck, everybody. We'll be watching that one coming up.
I didn't even know there was another one.
Yep.
Yeah. So, time to rate this movie, because apparently I'm not allowed to do 1 out of 10 piercing pulls and torture.
No, I hate that.
No.
So we're going to do 1 out of 10 popsicles to the back.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Fred,
sir. Very, very raunchy.
Booty Club glitter bombs, right?
I'm going to change it up even right now.
Oh, dear.
1 out of 10 pink popsicles to the back.
Oh, 1 out of 10 pink popsicles to the back. Fred, how many pink popsicles to the back do you give this movie?
I'm going to give this movie a 7. I think it was pretty good overall. It stands the test of time. Mm-hmm. Even though it wasn't very deep, it was very well executed for what they worked with there. And I enjoyed Thomas Jane. I'm failing on his name. Travolta, and what was the other guy? Will Patton. Yeah. Really enjoyed the three of them in this movie. I think they did a really good job.
All right. Andrew, what about you?
I completely agree with Brad. I'm going to say 7 pink popsicles to the back. I really enjoyed it. It's watchable, not too watchable. I would have to skip some scenes, but it's really entertaining. It's really interesting.
All right. And Carrie, what about you?
I'm also going to give it a 7. Maybe just under a 7. I think the Joan and the boys kind of drops it for me, because like I said, they just feel out of place. It feels like a different movie when they're around. But otherwise I do like this movie. I like how methodical Frank is, and I just wish he had done a better job keeping a low profile.
Yes. Well, I'm going to actually give it a 7 pink popsicles to the back as well.
I think we're so good today. We are on par.
I think it was a good movie. I think the story does still stand up. I think, like Fred said earlier, the practical effects make it so that it ages better than CGI, because you could tell a CGI from 2004 to a movie that just has a lot of practicals. So I think it was a good movie. I'd go back and rewatch it. I'd pop it in and watch it with popcorn. I wouldn't watch it with the family. But,
no.
But I
wait until the kids are older. Much, much older.
At least 8.
Much older. But look, everybody, thank you for joining us. We want you to leave some feedback for us. You know, email us, guys, capecrongles@randomchatter.com. Let us know your questions and thoughts and or theories on Discord as well. Holler at us on Twitter. Leave a review for us, everybody. The more reviews you leave, the better we get into the store and the more people find us. But before we get into all these awesome closing credit scenes, everybody, I just have to say we have 2 more movies coming up. I mentioned them earlier. Our next movie we're going to be looking at here in a couple weeks is going to be Spider-Man 2. Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. All right, to see the love he has for Mary Jane. And then after that, we're going to hit a animated movie. We've only done
one animated movie,
and that was Gotham. No, that was Batman Sub-Zero, correct?
No, that was Mask of the Phantasm.
That's right. I think it's Sub-Zero. Nope, we did Batman Mask of the Phantasm. But yes, for those who are asking, we do animated shows and movies on this one. And we do. There's a lot more DC. We're not going to do a ton of Marvel, because Marvel, let's just be honest, makes great live-action movies, but crappy animated movies. So we will be watching some animated movies. And the first one up, though, on a docket is The Incredibles from 2004.
Nice.
So we're looking.
And I think we might be getting guests for both of these.
Yes, we may be getting guests. That fest. We wow. may be getting guests for
How
both
of these.
How long
have you been talking, Mike?
A very, very long time. And so we maybe get some guests. I'm looking forward to these two movies coming up, though. It seems like we're finally hitting a good stride of movies that we're going to be able to dig a lot more into. So we'll see what happens here the next time. So, rounding it out, Carrie, why don't you begin our closing announcements here so we can head on out of her lair for tonight.
Okay, so you can email us at capechronicles@randomchatter.com. You can find us on Twitter at Random Chatter, or the show Twitter, which is at Cape Chronicles. I have no idea what that's... Okay. You can also... you can find me on Twitter at CarrieBlackfire42. That's K-E-R-I Blackfire42. Mike, where can we find you?
You can find me at the DC Fanboy. That's the DC _ Fanboy.
You can also find me on Andrea? Twitter at Cats Bears. That's KATZBARZ.
Apologies.
Fred, where can they find you?
And you can find me at Freddy Wan Kenobi. That's FREDYWAN Kenobi.
Damn, girl, where are you at?
And you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. It's been a long day, guys. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We still love you, Gary.
Aww.
Yeah, and hey, listen, while we're throwing out Twitter accounts, I do want to encourage you, since Celebration's coming up here, make sure you follow our Force Chatter Twitter account as well as our Instagram account. Miss Andrea is our co-social media coordinator, and she will be doing a lot of pictures and posts and stuff from Celebration here. So make sure you follow them closely.
Yes. You can also spread the word and support us, not just Cape Chronicles, but also just all the other shows on the network that we are part of, Random Chatter. When it comes to Cape Chronicles, you can leave reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. We will read your comments, reviews on air. We really enjoy them. They make us feel very, very, very happy. And I know that the last time Fred did give you guys a little pep talk and lecture about not having any reviews. So if you guys love Fred, you guys will leave a review.
Aww.
Oh, anyways, and the music you hear on this podcast is High Roller Mojo by Blue Stolly and Asili's Assistant Sounds. All trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next time, piercing pools.
The force be with you.
What?
Pull the earrings. All right, we're gone.
No.